Everybody's
Tiger
here.
Everybody's here. First things first. Woo! I'm Jenna Wolf.
Let's go, Jenna.
Boom! I don't
Jenna got pants on today, people. No. Show the people the pants, Jenna. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Absolutely. There you go. Get us there, Jenna. Do your thing, Jenna. Do it. Zip it. Zip it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a good time here at 3 a.m., seemingly. That is Nick Wright. Mm-hmm. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. I'm Jenna Wolf. We've got a great show for you today. I'm wearing pants. Mm-hmm. The Patriots celebrated in the streets of Boston. The Sixers pulled off a big trade in the middle of the night.
These guys are also
wearing pants. Mm-hmm. So we will start with the Lakers.
Mr. Tickles got on pants.
They played like they was wearing pants last night, not gym shorts. My Lord.
They got mollywopped, as Nick likes to say, losing by 42 points to the Pacers last night. It was LeBron's worst loss in his 16-year career, and it now drops the Lakers to 27-27 on the season. Well, what about the trade? Well, let's talk about those trade rumors. Lakers are reportedly waiting on a counteroffer from the Pelicans for Anthony Davis as talks have seemingly gone cold. LeBron was asked if all the trade talk is now affecting the way the team is playing on the court.
Obviously, we have a lot of guys that's been in trade talks the last couple weeks that's never been in that position before. So you have to ask those guys and how they're dealing with it. You can't really ask me. I've never, been a part of that, but I've been a part of teammates, I know it has to be tough on a lot of our guys, especially our young guys. Right now they've just never been a part of it, and they're hearing it every single day. And I know that the worst thing that you can do right now is be on social media. And I know all young guys love social media. So, that definitely can't help.
No one knows more about social media than that guy.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, let's talk about it. Does last night's loss show you that maybe the trade rumors are starting to affect the Lakers, especially what you saw on the court?
Yeah. I mean, there's no other way. There's no other way to read into it. And LeBron's right. LeBron has no idea what this is like. LeBron's never been the subject of trade rumors. The only trade that ever we found out after the fact he was rumored in was the Lakers years ago offering Kobe for a very young LeBron after Shaq left the Lakers and the Cavs dismissed it. Since then, he's had no trade clause in his contracts. He doesn't know what it's like to be on the trading block. But I would ask the audience to remember 1 year ago this week, because it's very instructive. There were trade rumors swirling around the entire Cleveland Cavaliers team. And what did they do that week? On February 3rd of 2018, they lost to the Rockets at home by 32 points. LeBron had 11 points in that game. The very next game they played Orlando, a bad Magic team. They were up 16 at the half. They lost the second half by 34 points en route to getting blown out. Those guys that knew they might be traded, knew they could be on their way out, stopped committing defensively, as is understandable. You want me to sacrifice for who? For what? For a team that's going to be my ex-team? And the team was falling apart. The Cavs found out the day before the trade deadline, 1 year ago today, that the trades were happening. That's the game LeBron had the block on one end, the game winner on the other against the Timberwolves. The next day, they remade the Cavs, went on the run they went on. But this is not shocking that they played this poorly. What it did, though, was it made making some type of move, and I'm talking Svi Mykhailiuk for Reggie Bullock, which happened in the middle of the night, some major move, all the more of a necessity for the Lakers, because these guys, while they might play better once the trade deadline is passed, I think some of them might be lost emotionally for the season.
Yeah, it's impossible to think that this young group of players, it wouldn't affect them. Now, Lonzo Ball not being in the lineup and other injuries, yeah, they're shorthanded also, but the overall pressure. Just imagine just your family, just your close family. Forget about people just in the basketball world. All the communication you have to try to get them to not talk about it, because it's a reality. It's been a reality since LeBron has been there. He was only going to play with this group of young players for 1 year. It was a matter of, are they going to be able to keep one of them? Which one of them's going to develop? Who's going to be the better asset amongst the three of them? And I could throw Josh Hart in there after the great summer he had last year, because people like his overall ability. But when you just think about trying to do your job and be professional, it's hard when you don't know what your home's going to be. Now, How do you focus? How are you able to do that? Man, it was obviously last night they were not in the type of mentality that you want to have in the basketball.
They weren't in sync as a team.
No, absolutely not.
And LeBron, listen, this is part of the deal with LeBron. Is he's not exactly going to be the life coach for these guys during this process. And in fact, he might detach himself a bit during this process. We saw that in the fourth quarter when he was sitting on the end of the bench as he always did, and then all of a sudden those empty seats weren't filling up. Like, LeBron is not going to be the best guy to get guys through this because he doesn't view that as his job.
A lot of times at training camp, being in the NFL, there's a lot of guys that potentially I might be mentoring or building relationships through the offseason. When you start getting to that second week in August, you start realizing, I'm going to have to start pulling myself away. I'm going to have to start more gravitating to the guys I know are going to be here, and we're going to go on this journey to try to win together. And as much as you like to help people and have guys have it grow, ultimately, you have to try to start thinking about and taking care of yourself. And LeBron James, he can only do so much. And I like the fact that he admitted this is foreign to him. Mm-hmm. And there's only certain things that LeBron could be able to help these young guys with. And last night was not a good showing for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Look, between the injuries they've had, the rotations they've changed, the chemistry problems, the trade rumors, is just getting Anthony Davis going to be enough to salvage this season at this point? And we're not even sure if that's going to happen.
Well, I think it's the only thing that could salvage the season. And this is the Lakers yesterday tried to draw a line in the sand, right? They said, you know what? We're not negotiating anymore. We're sick of negotiating with the Pelicans. Sick of negotiating against ourselves. We've offered you. They offered the trade offer I presented a week ago, which a lot of people thought was way too much, plus Josh Hart. And they were going to take on a bad contract.
Everything.
So it was 125 cents on the dollar instead of 90 cents on the dollar for Anthony Davis. And then last night happens. And if I'm the Pelicans and Dell Demps, I watched the game last night. I'm like, oh, you guys sure that's your stance? You sure you're just going to throw away year 16 of LeBron James? Because while I still believe, and I know we're going to get to the Clippers trade in a moment, thanks to the Clippers trade and some other things, the Lakers will still make the playoffs without Anthony Davis. You cannot believe they are any type of real threat in the playoffs with this team as presently constituted. And so it might make Magic and Rob Pelinka get back together and say, is there a price too high to pay to give us a fighting shot this season?
What aren't they offering the Pelicans that the Pelicans could possibly want?
The Pelicans want all the draft picks they're allowed to trade. They want
the ones and the twos.
They want the ones and not two ones, four ones.
Yes.
To go along with four twos, to go along with all five young players. So Zoe, Ingram, Kuzma, Zubats, Hart, and take a bad contract. They want literally the maximum available
assets. Not only do they want to win on the court, I mean, they know that they're getting beyond his value, but they're also trying to win the press conference. Mm-hmm. This is an organization that Anthony Davis talked about. He believes that the ownership, because they own the Saints and the Pelicans, that they favor the Saints. And it's a Saints city. And you know, and the fans turn out more for the Saints. And the ownership supports the Saints. So all these things become very, very important because they've lost a player. Now, how do they win from a PR standpoint?
And Danny Ainge is whispering in Dell Demps here, wait for me, wait for me. But he's not the only GM whispering in Dell Demps here. There's a lot of other GMs, I believe, and people in the league that aren't in big-time markets or are either have bitterness towards LeBron and Clutch Sports or have bitterness towards the power the superstar player, the enormous power the superstar player has acquired, and is saying, don't give in, man. Do not let Anthony Davis dictate exactly where he wants to go and give in to LeBron. So he's got pressure from outside his organization that if he's going to make this trade, he has to get everything from the Lakers.
But just very quickly before we go, if you're the Lakers and you saw what you saw on the court last night, do you just do it?
I'm not giving them all the twos. I mean, there is a price to be paid, but I mean, you have to at some point be like, okay, enough is enough. But I believe Magic Johnson's forced to make this.
If I'm the Lakers, I tell him, listen, if you want all the young guys and all our picks, we are not taking on the bad contract. If they're going to do that, then they have to leave themselves the ability to sign a guy this offseason.
Yes.
So you can, I would almost tell them, take your pick, the young guys and the bad contract, or the young guys and all the draft picks. We can't do all three. And the Pelicans might just say, okay, we'll see you at 2:58 p.m. on Thursday and see if you still feel that way.
All right, take a break, talk more about this. But coming up, one team is going all in an attempt to take down the Warriors. That is next on FS1, and you can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We will be right back. All right, let's move on to the big trade in the NBA. Not the Anthony Davis one, not yet at least, but the 76ers one. The Sixers seem to be all in this year, trading for Clippers forward Tobias Harris. It was a six-player deal, which is the Sixers giving up a bunch of future picks, but Harris is having his best NBA season, scoring over 20 points per game. Sixers say they plan on keeping him long-term, along with their three other stars in Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons. All right, Nick, are the new-look Sixers now the best team in the Eastern Conference?
I can't say that yet, because you got to see them play together. And the Bucks are playing at such a high level. Mm-hmm. And over the next 36 hours, we don't know if Boston's going to make a move, unlikely, or the Raptors are going to make a move. I would say that is likely. But the Sixers were, you guys know, my preseason pick to make the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. And that's when they just had Simmons and Embiid as their frontline players. They then added Jimmy Butler. And now they add Tobias Harris, who, if people don't watch the Clippers, he's the biggest reason that right now they're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Clippers, for a lot of reasons, they don't own their own pick. They're trying to get free agents. They're fine with falling out of the playoffs this year so they can keep their draft pick and for some other salary cap reasons. But he has been excellent, a fringe all-star candidate in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. See, you mentioned earlier, I had forgotten this, he won player of the month,
yes,
the first month of the year.
Yep, month of November.
And a guy who has improved year after year in his NBA career. Bounced around the league a lot. This is going to be his fifth team. But 20 points, 43% from three, and now every great lineup, three-man lineup the Sixers had, see, involved J.J. Redick. Not because J.J. Redick's great, he's good, but because spacing and shooting. Now you have a more versatile player that also adds that spacing and shooting. This is a coup for the Philadelphia 76ers.
A big day for Philadelphia and Bill Get Tobias. I think that you mentioned it there, and most people aren't watching the Clippers. And players typically that move around to a couple teams, as a fan, we don't necessarily have the faith. Not necessarily the same type of athlete, but look at last year, Victor Oladipo, what he ended up doing after bouncing around to a couple teams. So people around the NBA believe that Tobias Harris has that same type of improvement in his game and is the same type of personality as far as if you tell him something, he will add it to his game. This offseason, Doc Rivers gave him five or six things he wanted him to work on. He worked on them. Doc was so impressed with that. That's how he ended up making that NBA Player of the Month the first season, where he was getting 22-9. So I do believe that Philadelphia and their ability now, you can't force J.J. Redick into the lineup because you know he's a defensive liability. You get a bigger shooter who's also one of the best in the NBA, not only at shooting threes, but at shooting twos and generating his own shot. Well, what does that mean? If you put him on the same side of the court as Joel Embiid, all right, you don't need to run plays for him, and you're going to get more spacing on the court for the most dominant center that we have in the game. So I like the fact, and the caveat to it all would be, I believe he's going to have more confidence going there because, as you mentioned, he's played with five teams. This is the first team to tell him you're part of our future.
Right.
So I believe that the 76ers, in getting him, they're getting a lot of different things, not only a good player, but, wow, just imagine that. Yeah, you're going from L.A., back to an East Coast, but you got a franchise that says, you know something, you're one of the building blocks of our future.
And a franchise that is evidently fine with spending a ton of money. They are saying they are not doing this as a rental. They are planning on signing him to a long-term extension. They have his bird, right? So they go over the cap to do it.
Yep.
Along with Jimmy Butler, Embiid's already on a long-term extension. Ben Simmons will get his next year, a year from this summer. And so you're talking about a team that if all four of those guys stay with the team and get the contracts we expect them to, it'll be the most expensive team in NBA history. But the Sixers have young, very wealthy, new ownership, relatively new ownership, and they think they can win a championship. They think that this year they could compete not only at the top of the East, but present some problems for the Warriors with their size. Shouldn't be forgotten, they also got Boban Marjanovic in this trade, who is the biggest human being in the NBA. And I only mention that because if you're playing a team that wants to go small and you give them 40 minutes of Embiid and then a few minutes of Boban leaning on him with his 7'4" frame, like, that can wear you out. And so the Sixers are going for it now. And I give them credit. They still don't have a ton of depth, but they are now, they were the only team in the league that had four guys averaging 17 points a game. Now they got five guys who had been averaging 17 points a game. This is a big-time trade for a team that thinks they can win right now.
And we talked this season, last season, about Ben Simmons and the struggles he have. A move like this obviously helps space the court more, a little more for him. But you sort of touched on the Golden State Warriors. You think this team now can compete with the Warriors at least this season?
I think they provide a different set of obstacles that Golden State would have to deal with. Knicks makes a good point. Going big against them, that's what San Antonio did. Now, Kawhi ended up getting hurt, but that's one thing that's been effective when San Antonio, and also we've only seen so much against the Durant version of the Warriors, but San Antonio was one team that went big on them and had some type of success. What I worry about is more on the defensive end. Because from a defensive standpoint, you don't really have a bunch of guys that can run around all those picks that Golden State has or someone to be able to match Steph Curry.
You definitely don't have anyone that can match Steph Curry, but what you do have defensively now is so much length. And Embiid is one of the best defenders in the league.
Yes.
Ben Simmons is one of the best defensive guards in the league. Jimmy Butler, his whole MO has been he is a great two-way player. And Tobias Harris gives you length. So you can now, you got a lot of size to throw at them, even if everyone's going to struggle.
And you have a lot of versatility because with the Warriors, you have to be able to rotate either four or five players defensively. The best teams can switch off on every end. Joel Embiid is not a liability out on if he gets switched into a pick and roll. So their length and their situational defensive player. So to me, I like the growth of Tobias Harris. Is he going to continue to grow under Brett Brown like he did under Doc Rivers? Because we saw him grow a tremendous amount this year. I'm excited to see him on the court. You mentioned also there'll be candidates for buyouts if players are going to be bought out to be able to build up their bench.
Like last year.
And then quickly, if you look at what the Clippers get out of this, clearly they now have the room and the ability to sign a couple people in the offseason, which they want. But why are the picks so important for them?
All right, so the first part is if they move Danilo Gallinari, they will be in the same position the Knicks are in. Two max spots. Not only a max spot for Kawhi, who they think they have a real shot at, but the potential ability to get two max players. But the pick they got in this, which is the crown jewel of it, is an unprotected, meaning even if it's the number one pick of the draft, they get it, pick from Miami in 2021. So that might seem like a long ways away. That is a wildly valuable pick because Miami is ticking down. We don't know if Miami all of a sudden is going to have a resurgence. And for them, my guess is the Clippers will never use that pick. That will be part of a trade they make maybe next season. If they do get one star in free agency to acquire another one, it's super valuable. They have that pick and the Sixers pick that they can use as trade chips because they owe a pick to Boston, so their ability to trade their own first rounders is restricted. Now they've got some picks they can play with in the trade market. That's why they made this trade.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, is it trade or bust now for the Lakers? That's next on First Things First.
Listen, I know you don't want to hear about it, but 66% of men, 2 out of 3, lose their hair by age 35. When you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. That's why 4Hims is here to give you the chance at correcting that bald spot or receding hairline before it becomes a real problem. Fact, it's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Don't become a statistic. Try 4Hims. Here's your solution. 4Hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Gotta love science. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You'll get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You'll save hours by going to forhims.com. Answer a few quick questions, and the doctor will review and prescribe you the products you need. All products are conveniently shipped directly to your door. It's really that simple. Order now. Our listeners get a trial month of 4Hims for just $5 today, right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4Hims.com/first. Spell it out now, F-I-R-S-T. That's 4Hims, F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/first. 4Hims.com/first.
Madison Square Garden comes alive for the 143rd Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show starting February 10th on Fox and FS1, or watch it on the Fox Sports app. Watch it with you, Nick.
Oh, my wife's going to be watching it, looking for whichever new dog she wants to buy.
Time now for us to go viral. How many do you have right now?
One, but she wants six.
Tom Brady celebrated his sixth Super Bowl parade with his family yesterday, which led to us finding out his daughter Vivian's adorable nickname for one of his favorite targets. Take a listen.
Gronky, awesome. That works. That's about what I would expect a little girl's nickname for Gronk. Can you imagine having, like, lovable Uncle Gronk?
I mean,
that's got to be fun.
A little, oh, yeah, that's the way my kids grew up. Uncle Reggie, Reggie White.
Uncle Randy at all?
No, to him and Deron, they was like the same age.
Oh, okay, that's right. No, I forgot about that. That's right, my bad. No. A different situation.
No.
Sorry, all right, I didn't mean to bring up some potential memories. Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't do the math in my head right.
Deron was seven, but
okay, I got the same age. Yep,
Time for stories to start your morning. We're sticking with the Patriots here. So Brady has the most Super Bowl wins of all time, but he says the GOAT moniker, quote, makes me cringe. What'd you make of that, hearing that, CC?
That's the way he should be looking at it. The greatest players that we have seen, when you get into this conversation, that's not a conversation they should be having. It's for other people to be a representative. I mean, Tom Brady is doing it the right way. He's been to 9 Super Bowls. He's won 6 of them. If you look at how he's played under the pressure situations, he shouldn't be thinking about that. That's not a debate. That's why they pay me the money, Tom. Absolutely.
And the GOAT, the actual term GOAT, has almost always been used in reference to basketball. Before there was a debate when it was just Jordan. Now that there is a debate, it's only recently that nobody ever said Joe Montana's the GOAT. They'd say he's the greatest quarterback ever. It's a kind of new thing.
He's the quote-bubba-gutter.
Oh, okay. Jenna tried to do an acronym for greatest quarterback ever.
I wasn't even trying to. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Anyway,
appreciate that.
I guess we're moving on to the losing side now. Todd Gurley opted not to speak to the media yesterday. Sean McVay reiterated that Gurley's lack of touches were not due to injury, but due to lack of rhythm. I will leave this one to the two of you guys now. Nick, what did you make of this?
All right, we got, at some point, can we please get to the bottom of this? I feel like we had a 6-week national emergency about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl. Todd Gurley is one of the best players in the league, and he touched the ball 11 times. He skipped his media avail yesterday. We're not going to hear from him. The only logical explanation is he was injured and the Rams are still concealing it. Otherwise, this is a major gaffe by the Los Angeles Rams.
If the last two games, the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, if Todd Gurley was healthy, man, Sean McVay, the shine is going to wear off of him. Well, how do you utilize him? Right. Well, how can you get to the two biggest games of your life and him be healthy? So for me, as a player, I still think there's something wrong with Todd Gurley. He didn't even have the same energy on the sideline in those two games.
All right, moving on. Nick Foles told the Eagles he is opting out of his current contract. This will likely lead Philly to franchise the quarterback and try to trade him. That's the case, CC. Where do you think Nick Foles ends up?
I don't know where Nick Foles ends up, but I'm going to tell you something, though. Wherever he ends up, he won't have the success he had in Philadelphia. because the grass won't be greener than Fly Eagles Fly. We have never seen Nick Foles more comfortable than where he is right now. Nick Foles has played a lot of football. Let's not act as if he's some young quarterback. The surrounding cast, the coaching staff, the Philly fans have made him comfortable. He's played his best football. Buyer, beware.
And I think it's easier to say one place that I would be shocked if he ends up, even though there's a lot of speculation surrounding this team, and that's the Jags. The only team with less cap space going into next year than the Jags is the Eagles. They both have negative cap space, meaning they're over next year's cap already. So the ability for the Jags to bring in Nick Foles when they're still going to be paying Blake Bortles a bunch of money, that's not there. You would think the Broncos, because they like backup quarterbacks there, but they already got one in Case Keenum. Miami, maybe, but there's for the price tag, I think is going to expect, the list of teams is shorter than people might think.
All right, finally, when it comes to the Anthony Davis trade, the ball is in now in the Pelicans' court. The Lakers are waiting for a counteroffer from New Orleans just a day away from the trade deadline. Nick, how much pressure is on Magic Johnson now to acquire Anthony Davis before the deadline?
Well, more pressure after last night, after watching that team not even show up. And We saw the Cavs go through a similar time like this right before the trade deadline last year. But then they made a total reinvention trade, a dozen players involved, multiple teams, and they basically got a new squad for the final 30 games of the year. But the Lakers right now find themselves in 10th place, 2.5 back, with 28 games to go. It's go time now. Now, they got helped by the fact the Clippers made their trade, so the Clippers, one of the teams above them, should fall back some. But
yeah. Good point.
But I do not think you can look at this year as simply throw it away. You know what I mean? Don't worry. It's about next year, particularly because you don't have a single free agent this upcoming summer who has said to anyone, the Lakers are where I'm going. We've had Kawhi say, I want to go to Los Angeles, but there's two teams there. Right. Anthony Davis made it clear he wants to go to the Lakers. He's not a free agent. And so I understand why Magic wanted to walk away from the table, because he felt he was negotiating against himself and wanted to force the Pelicans to make a counter offer, a real counter offer. But unless you are just going to say, year one of LeBron, when he showed some signs of age with that injury, we're just going to throw it away, then enormous pressure to get Anthony Davis now, not let Boston get into it, and give yourself a shot this season.
That's part of being Magic Johnson, though. That's dealing with the pressure. Magic's always had a great deal of pressure on him. When he took the Lakers job, which he wanted, that job. It was just a matter of several things happening. Number one, could he land LeBron James? Now, to me, LeBron still would have come to the Lakers, even if Magic was not running their basketball operations. He still would have gone to the Lakers. So Magic, yes, was outside LeBron's house waiting for a free agency to open, to pounce. And so we have that. But what I'm worried about is, in a panic, does he make a bad deal? Because what we had to realize through this all, getting from Kobe to LeBron, they had to be patient. Now, do they lose their patience because of right now, Anthony Davis has made it public, I want to be out of New Orleans. I'd like to be with the Lakers. That'd be one of the teams I would sign a long-term deal with. So I believe the pressure has really increased, and you want to get Anthony Davis before the trade deadline, because you don't want the other teams to be involved after that. And you want to, I'll take Anthony Davis, but you can't take him, give up all those picks and that salary, because then you won't be able to get another superstar. So you have to get Anthony Davis, and or I would much rather wait till the summer than take that bad contract and take me out of the running of getting someone else like Kyrie.
Here's the only, I agree that's the ideal. The only problem is, what if the Knicks do win the draft lottery? I've been saying this is only 14% chance, but that's still a one in seven chance. Like, and then all of a sudden the best thing available is Zion Williamson, and that trade would be made. What if a lot of people are surprised and Kyrie does stay in Boston, and therefore then Anthony Davis, Danny Ainge will trade Jason Tatum. Here's the reason to make the trade right now, even if you gotta swallow hard and take whatever deal Dell Demps is offering, is because it is hard to think of a scenario where you get Anthony Davis for what would be the next 5.5 years, the year and a half on his contract, the 4-year extension he's going to sign, and you look back and you say, we made a terrible deal. You might say we paid too much, right, but it's hard to get a player of that caliber for that long of a period of time. What I think Magic was doing yesterday, Jenna, was, And anyone that's ever tried to buy a house, I think, can relate to this. Say the house is on the market for $250,000, and you offer $220,000. You don't really expect them to say yes to the $220,000. You just want them to counter. Because the moment they counter, you're like, okay, I'm going to be able to get this house. Like, they're not hard on two. Like, and right. So all Magic, I think, wanted was,
a counter.
If they counter, it means they are willing to trade him.
Right.
I want evidence you're actually willing to trade him.
A counter means you're actually negotiating compared to discussing something.
And what I don't think Magic wanted was for them to have no interest in ever trading him, and then Magic keeps upping his offer, and then that be the precedent that's used against him this summer. Show me he's actually on the table before I lay out everything I'll give you. Because if he's not on the table, and then you're going to come back to me this summer saying, well, you already offered me this, you're in a very weak position.
The thing that I don't understand is, for Magic Johnson, what's plan B? So if this doesn't work out, it doesn't seem
it's just wait for the summer. They would probably acquire a third-level player right before the deadline.
But nothing that would put a dent into something like this.
No, no.
All right, let's go back to football. The Super Bowl may be over, but the euphoria in New England is alive and well. The Patriots had their Super Bowl parade yesterday, their sixth in the past two decades, a number shockingly similar to the amount of Super Bowls that they have won. On Sunday, Bill Belichick was caught on camera telling Tom Brady and Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman will be back after winning Super Bowl 53. CeCe, any reason to bet against the Patriots next season?
Man, I tell people, man, if you know better, you do better. And I know better. I know better. I've been watching this happen for a long, long time. And when you look at the AFC, outside of Kansas City, I mean, who do you think as an organization is ready to dominate in the AFC? Potentially Indianapolis, what they have going there with Frank Wright, getting Andrew Luck back, having that salary cap space, the ability to be able to play physical, keeping Andrew Luck upright. Like, besides that, New England still, man, they're still going to be part of this. As long as Tom Brady's there, they're going to be able to win 10 games. If you can win 10 games, you're going to be in the playoffs, and you got a shot. And if you think that overall experience that they have with their core group of guys is not going to be effective, then you didn't watch this season. Because over the last month of the season, which is the last 30 days, they've played the best football in the NFL. They should be Super Bowl champs based on what they did going to Kansas City, winning that game in overtime, taking that drive all the way down the field, and what they did to the Los Angeles Rams in the Super Bowl. So, no, I'm not surprised at all. I know they're one of the favorites because that's what New England – there's nothing – they got 8 new coaches, right, in the league. I mean, so now we got 24. Well, I can eliminate them one by one if you guys wanted to come up with Chris lists, like who should really be on this list. But we got 8 new coaches. There's only 32 teams. All right? So when you break it down, who's gonna knock them off?
Well, and listen, and I have been someone that has been publicly said, I think this is the year for New England. But if this wasn't the year for New England, then why on earth would next year be the year? If the year when they're 11-5, when Brady's play drops off, when they can't win on the road, if this year they win the Super Bowl by their biggest margin of victory in any Super Bowl, like, Belichick's not going to get dumber. Josh McDaniel's still there. That offensive line, which, by the way, has their first-round pick, Isaiah Wynn, from last year, he will get to play for the first time. They have 4 top 75 draft picks. Like, all those things are advantages they have moving into next season. The other advantage they have is their division in this way. I want to make this clear because there's a misnomer. The Pats just beat up on the AFC South and that's it. They win the exact same percentage of games in the division as out of the division. It's 74.7% versus 75.1%. Bill Barnwell published this over the Brady era. So that's not the division advantage. The division advantage is they can have an 11-win season and not worry, oh, man, that's going to make us a wild card team because one of these teams going to win 13. Like, they can get off to a slow start, find their way, and still be guaranteed at least one home game from winning the division, if not a bye. So that's the infrastructure advantage they have there to go along with the enormous, intelligence advantage, if you will, or schematic advantage they have from the coaching staff and Brady.
If there's one position you'd like to see this team shore up for next season, what would it be?
They got to get another wide receiver.
Yeah.
Get another wide receiver. Get a rush, even though they generate rush through scheme on the defensive side. But they need an explosive offensive player, a deep threat, and they'd like an explosive playmaker on the defensive side that they haven't been able to get in a number of years. So those would be my two priorities if I was looking at New England.
And C, they might also need a tight end. Like, that's the – Dwayne Allen, I would imagine, is not going to be back next year's $7 million cap hit. And Rob Gronkowski, we think, could be retiring. Like, that – now, you're not going to get Rob Gronkowski, but you need another pass catcher, whether it, I agree, an outside receiver. We know they prioritize that.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get it. Like, they brought in 33 receivers over the course of the year. They took a flyer on Josh Gordon that was starting to work out before it ended the way it seemed was almost inevitable. Like, they feel, I think, we can see from their decisions, they need somebody there. But there's I'm out of the doubting the Patriots business because of what they showed
for how
this
long?
Season. As long as Belichick's there.
How long did it take for him to get there?
Because I think I underestimated the enormous advantage they were going to have on everyone in the playoffs, absent of the 53 players. Like, just from the experience and schematics. And go ahead.
I was telling people a lot in Atlanta this weekend, and they were like, well, Chris, do you like New England? I said, I like football played the right way. And New England, if you don't like them, it's because either you don't like because they've won so much and there's a reason to hate on them. But if you like football and you like being able to make you think about what they're going to do, you got to like the way New England attacks things. Their multiples, meaning this week will be one team and the next week will be a different team. And those requirements it takes to be that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
And I know the stress that the players are under, and to perform like that year after year, I got much respect
and
for it.
And to C's point about who's coming, like, the people thought the Jags were on the uptick. They fell apart this season.
After that spicy interview.
The Steelers, I don't think, will be as good next year as they were this year. And this year they missed the playoffs. You mentioned the Colts with all their cap space. The Texans also have a bunch of cap space, finally have their own picks. But those teams, there's a lot of variables there. The Chiefs, I believe, will be there. I think you believe will be there. And the Patriots. Like, those are the two teams you look at the top of the AFC projecting ahead.
All right, we'll break. Hey, is there a new threat to the Warriors in the NBA? That's still ahead on First Things First. Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolutions. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including many of the world's most popular self-improvement shows, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and even learn how to feel balanced while meditating. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can download episodes for those times when you've gone off the grid, you know, to get all that newfound balance back into your life. So start the year off right and start listening to podcasts on Spotify. Over there. Welcome back. Former NFL head coach Eric Mangini is here.
Good to see you, brother.
How are you?
Nothing. I'll tell you about it after the break. You missed something very funny.
Shocker.
No problem.
The talk these days. If it's not about the Patriots, it's about the Rams. They are coming off a Super Bowl loss where they scored just 3 points. That after averaging over 30 points a game this season. Not great for head coach Sean McVay, who some call an offensive guru, and third-year quarterback Jared Goff. Despite the disappointing performance, both vowed to bounce back.
If you can't handle getting gut punched and responding, you know, this business probably isn't for you.
I wish I would have played better. I think I speak for a lot of us when I say that, but, you know, myself in particular, you know, I wish I would have done my part better. And, you know, I can promise next time if we get that opportunity, I will.
It's a resilient mindset, and it's one of, you know, gratitude for what these players and these coaches have done this year, but also the unfinished element of it will just continue to drive you in the right way as you move forward.
Coach, you talk so much about the concept of the Super Bowl hangover and how hard it is to get back once you've been there. What has to happen for this Rams team after what happened in the Super Bowl for them to do this again and get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, this is going to be very hard. And the reason it's hard is you start a month later than everybody else, and that's an adjustment. People are going through the success that they had, and there's this sense of I need to get my element. I need to share in this success. So contracts and free agency and things like that, those things become more difficult. You've got some question marks in terms of which free agents they're going to bring back and what that'll cost. And there's several on defense. But you look at the offensive line. You've got Saffold could be gone.
Yes.
Whitworth could retire. Their center could potentially retire. So that's been a staple of this team, and there's so much continuity.
Yes.
Suddenly, if that disappears, how are they going to handle that aspect of it? And look at their division. You know, San Francisco, we got Garoppolo back. They should be emerging in that division.
We know Seattle's going to be there.
And Seattle's going to be there. So they're going to have to deal with that. And everybody's looking at them. So all the things that they did well last year, they have to do equally as well, if not better, because people are closing the gap on what they've done. And to some degree, they're going to look at the Super Bowl, and they're going to say, okay, this is what works. How can we emulate that to attack the Rams moving forward?
And that's the point I was going to seize on, is that, listen, everyone doesn't have the personnel the Patriots have. They don't have the coaches the Patriots have. But now they've got a full game film of, okay, so this is a very specific way, without needing a Khalil Mack type, without needing necessarily multiple all-pro, because we saw the Bears shut down the Rams offense as well. But that was, I think, some schematics with Vic Fangio, but a lot of great players making great plays, right?
Yes. And the weather.
And oh, sure, absolutely. I forgot about that component of it, the weather. This is a controlled environment without a ton of all-pro, in fact, no all-pro front seven guys. Really the only all-pro caliber player on the defense, at least according to the voters, Stephon Gilmore, that annihilated them. And so you saw all of a sudden, okay, how much can we duplicate that? And can the Rams make an adjustment? Because Warren Sharp, who's one of the smartest football minds that I know of, put out yesterday almost a play-by-play breakdown of what happened in that Super Bowl. And one of the biggest adjustments the Rams refused to make was the few times they were in two tight end personnel, Goff had time, they made big plays. But they had been in 11 personnel, one tight end, three wide receivers all year long. They stuck with that. They made no adjustment within the game. And they were never successful on those plays in this Super Bowl. The touchdown pass they almost hit with the one to Cooks was in 12 personnel, their big play down the field previously. They weren't making the adjustments. So how do you deal with the intangible stuff of the egos and the money and who wants, it's my turn now to get paid? And how do you deal with the fact that there is now a bit of a blueprint on how to slow down this team if Todd Gurley is not Todd Gurley?
Gurley with an asterisk, yeah.
Well, there's a number of things that I think Sean McVay needs to look at. He talked about in one of his press conferences, him and Bill Belichick, they met last year at the Combine. Bill Belichick used to watch all his games and text him after almost every game. First of all, don't answer his text next year, okay? Because he took you to school in the Super Bowl. That would just be my first observation. And as far as their personnel, I think, Nick, you made a great point. You need to self-scout yourself. In the NFL, that's what you have to be really good at, so you know what people think of yourself. Be aware. Like I try to tell you to be aware of yourself and what people are seeing when you're coming at them. During the regular season, the Los Angeles Rams were 90% 11 personnel.
Yep.
All right. Now, Cooper Kupp got hurt, and we saw that Jared Goff, his passing rating, he lost 30 points off that immediately. So I would see, what else am I going to be if I'm going to be a three receiver, which is 11 personnel team? Brian Billick used to always tell me, Chris, you guys as receivers have to force me to keep you on the field. So we have to be able to run the ball just as effective in any other formation. So three receivers, Chris, you have to show me that we can run the ball in this formation.
Like I think if we had two receivers and two tight ends.
I think that they're too predictable. And when they lost Cooper Kupp, they lost one of their main weapons as far as to generate first downs. They don't have a threat at tight end. They don't utilize the middle of the field, which is easier for quarterbacks to be able to throw. So Sean McVay's got to be able to adjust how he's going to attack teams. And for me, I would start with what people think about me. And they think we're an 11 personnel team. I would add some variance to that. And a lot of that would be straight drop backing and throwing the ball down the field that way and running the football effectively, coach, out of that 11 personnel.
Yeah, so I have a lot of reactions to this. First of all, Bill Belichick texting you, he's not in the business of helping other coaches. Like, that's just not what he does. So it's nice. It's nice that you guys are.
So I didn't just make that up.
No. Like, look, it's nice. I'm happy they have that, but he's not helping you. Okay, so let's just eliminate that first of all. I think the 11-12 discussion is a fair discussion, but I saw Patrick Chung hem up Tyler Higbee pretty early on in that game and walk him back. I saw it more as don't compress your formations, and they were compressed throughout the course of the year. And so if someone's going to play you, if someone's successful in a phone booth, don't give them a phone booth. Spread it out. Force them to walk out. Force them to play in space against your better athletes. Increase the tempo of the game. Go no huddle. Throw them off some of those ways. I just felt like they played into it when New England had seven guys on the line and they compressed everything down. It's like you're punching with a puncher. Like you don't want to do that. I'd say the other thing is this Todd Gurley issue is not going away, because if he wasn't hurt and he didn't play, it looks bad for him. It looks really bad for him. It looks like he is a player that comes up small in big moments. And if he was hurt and he's covering, you know, that's but bad too.
Listen,
it's going to come out, and he skipped the press conference yesterday. This is going to come out because his camp,
Todd Gurley's camp has Todd Gurley's agent or someone, if he's hurt, needs to leak that for his sake. Because this is not fair. Because you're right, it's going to be. And by the way, for McVay's sake, I would say, because it's not just he doesn't come up big in big moments. It's not like Todd Gurley was wildly ineffective in the Super Bowl. He didn't get the chances. Like, I would put a lot of this on Sean McVay. We were talking earlier last year. We had a crisis about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl. Malcolm Butler's a fine player. He ain't Todd Gurley. And so that is something that is, until we get a sourced, even if it's anonymously, report about what was going on, that's going to be the specter looming over the entire discussion of the Super Bowl, which is what happened to the best offensive player on the Rams.
All right, Coach, we'll see you a bit later in the show. Coming up, we're starting to get clarity on Anthony Davis's next team. That's next on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, Sports Illustrated senior NBA writer Chris Mannix is here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Thanks
good morning.
For being with us.
Congratulations, too. Sports Illustrated.
Yes, back. It's like I never left. You know, kept the same business card, same laptop. Left my desk open there. It was nice.
Okay. Good to see you.
Let you back in the building.
I bring greetings from Boston for you, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You're very, very popular.
He didn't say they were good greetings. Yeah.
Didn't,
he just brought
just
greetings.
Salutations.
Patriot fans, Celtic fans, Bruin fans.
Hey, Mannix, all eyes are on New Orleans and what they will do with Anthony Davis. Will they trade him to the Lakers by tomorrow's deadline? Will they wait for Boston to make a better offer this summer? Will they go in a completely different direction? According to you, Chris Mannix, the Celtics have refused to dangle Jason Tatum in a trade. And to complicate matters, AD seemed to endorse a move to the Lakers by liking this comment on Bleacher Report's Instagram describing a Lakers trade offer. All right, Chris, where will Anthony Davis end up?
My gut feeling at this point is he's going to end up in Boston. And it happens in the offseason. Look, you've seen the public reports about the Lakers backing off. That's obviously a tactic at this point. They'll re-engage at some point in the next 24 hours. But there are people inside the Pelicans organization that believe steadfastly that making a deal right now doesn't make sense. And I'll be honest, in canvassing the league the last week or so to talk about different things, this subject comes up, and I've yet to talk to an executive that thinks it's a good idea to make a deal for Anthony Davis before the deadline. The only downside for making a deal in the eyes of so many is that you have to hold on to this guy for 3 months and deal with the fallout that comes from that. But a lot can change in a few months. The draft lottery odds come out and Boston can get into the mix. And I think once Boston gets into the mix, and we can discuss all the variables that Boston has to account for, but once Boston gets into the mix, their eagerness for Anthony Davis, and they've been frothing over this guy for the better part of 2 years, their eagerness to get Anthony Davis will cause them to put a big-time offer on the table.
What is the big-time offer that doesn't involve Jason Tatum?
The biggest offer involves Jason Tatum. They could throw a few other things out there. Look, they're going to try. And what I said, look, the Celtics are not willing to discuss specifics with the Pelicans right now because they know if they tie themselves to a specific offer, they have to hold up that end of the bargain or else their credibility across the league is shot. So they're not specifically tying themselves and saying Jason Tatum is off the table. What they're saying is just hold off. We'll discuss this in the summertime. They do believe internally that it may take Jason Tatum to get a deal done.
Well, of course. I would argue that the I think people in my friends in Boston have drastically overvalued Jalen Brown and Terry Rozier or whomever else. The crown jewel of this is Tatum. The only way there is a trade piece available better than Tatum is if whomever gets the Zion lottery ticket puts that on the market. And I would argue the only team that would do that is the Knicks. Like, Cleveland's not going to do that because they couldn't keep him. Atlanta, Phoenix, you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah. None of those teams would trade 8 years of Zion for 1 year of Anthony Davis.
No.
So even though Tatum doesn't look as great as he did at the end of last season, I agree with you that Tatum is going to be an all-star, the all-NBA caliber player that the Pelicans so desperately want. But you asked, what is the downside? To me, the downside is very simple. It's that the Celtics don't offer Tatum, which they have not committed to do, and the Pelicans are in a position where it's the Kawhi trade. And it's like, wait, for Kawhi Leonard, we gave up him and Danny Green, and we got back DeRozan, Poeltl, and one first-round pick, when they have sitting out in front of them a trade right now. When I presented the Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, Zubats, and two firsts, people said that might be a little too much. The Lakers have now added in Hart, and they'll take back bad salary. If Jason Tatum never comes available, there is not a better trade available than that one.
But you are sitting there, you're assuming that that trade is off the table come July 1st. That's your argument, that trade is gone July 1st. I don't believe that. I believe that trade or something better is going to be there around that same time.
So I guess you're right that I am and if the Pelicans don't make the move, what they're saying is we think no matter what the Lakers say, that what you offer at 2:55 p.m. tomorrow is going to be the same thing you start with in July. Mm-hmm. But if Kyrie is left and Tatum's not out there, the Lakers won't have to make as big of an offer.
Okay, let's say all that does happen. You think Anthony Davis is going to stay in Boston?
I think if Kyrie Irving is staying, then Anthony Davis will stay.
And I know we're going to talk more about the Boston angle with you later, because the Kyrie stuff is a real tenuous situation, I think is fair to say, and that's something you've reported on, a lot of people have reported on. But there is a reason that people don't like there's a reason that Anthony Davis released his trade demand when he did, right? It was a signal to everyone, I want to go to the Lakers, and that will naturally cool the market league-wide. You can say that was unfair to the Pelicans. You can say they shouldn't have done that, but they did it. There's a reason he also included three new teams on the list, none of which are going to be in the market for him. The Clippers are clearly going after cap space. We saw that even more with the trade last night. The Bucks do not have the assets aside from Giannis. 0% they would ever trade Giannis. And the Knicks already tried to trade him, Kristaps, and they said,
yep,
we're not interested.
And unless they win the lottery with Zion, that's the only way they can get back in the business.
So I feel like, you know, Danny Ainge is another one of the reasons that he's saying wait, is because even if they don't get Anthony Davis, he would rather the Lakers not get him right now. He'd rather LeBron not get him right now. And GMs across the league would rather this increased power of the superstar player be halted a bit. Isn't it in his interest for some other team to draw a line in the sand and say, our superstar players under contract are not holding us hostage? Isn't it in a lot of teams' interest for the Pelicans to hold the line with Anthony Davis, even if it's not necessarily in their interest because of the precedent?
I think it's in a lot of teams' interest. I don't think it crosses the mind of Danny Ainge. I just don't think he thinks like that. I think he's so singularly focused on his own team and how to make that team the best team they could possibly be that he's not worried about a precedent that might be set by dealing Anthony Davis. And look, Even if they don't put Jason Tatum on the table, they can still make an offer that would be competitive with the Lakers.
What is it?
First of all, the draft pick situation is entirely different. I heard you just an hour ago singing a song about that Miami Heat draft pick and how valuable it's going to be. What's a more valuable draft pick, the Miami Heat's draft pick in 2021 or potentially an unprotected Memphis pick in 2 years?
In the same year, 2021.
Same year. More valuable?
Miami or Memphis? I'd say it's a coin flip.
Miami doesn't lose. Miami plays to win every single season. Memphis can't win. Like, that's this apples and oranges.
Okay, all right. So you think the Memphis, you know what, fair enough. If you want to say Memphis is more likely to be awful in 2 years than Miami. Okay, so there's that.
Okay, there's the Memphis pick. There's the Sacramento pick if the Kings don't make the playoffs this year. That could be a lottery pick, probably on the higher side, but a lottery pick. And then the Celtics can throw in some of their own picks down the line. The Lakers right now are really only offering their own picks. And how valuable are those Laker picks going to be if you move Anthony Davis onto the Lakers? Granted, 6 years from now, if some of those picks are pushed back, that could be a valuable asset. But right now, the Celtics draft picks are not just better than what the Lakers can offer. They're significantly better what the Lakers can offer.
Yeah, regardless of all this, though, I just don't see Anthony Davis signing. So Danny Ainge, he's not going to ring.
Let me ask you this. This I don't really get. And I've tried to stay, like, not – people accuse me of too sure. Hard on this. But, like – Anthony Davis and his agent, Rich Paul, comes out. The first thing Rich Paul says, Anthony Davis wants to go to a place where he can consistently win and get championships.
Yeah.
Why is Boston not the place you would want to be? You can't objectively say, and I know LeBron's a great player, but you can't objectively say that going to the Lakers presents Anthony Davis with a better chance of winning championships over the next 5 years than to a Kyrie Irving-led Celtics team. We can, again, debate
Some of these things that athletes say are window dressing.
Okay.
Because they really can't say what they want.
But he said it out three times.
Okay, just hold on. Okay. I let you talk. I let you run the segment. All right? I know you.
You said you were going to do that.
I know they hired you at Sports Illustrated. But I did. Okay? So settle down. All right? Now, his dad. I didn't have a father in my life, but I've had people that had an influence in my life. His dad said he didn't like what happened to Isaiah Thomas. Now, when that happened to Isaiah Thomas, we thought it was going to have a ripple effect. Now, not an immediate ripple effect, but people didn't like to see. And did Boston do the right thing basketball-wise? Yes, they did. But what happened to IT and as far as his career and everything went, they did the right thing. But people saw it, and the optics just weren't good. His dad said that, and Clutch Sports don't want him in Boston.
No, they do not.
Okay, so those things. So those things are real. How are you going to get beyond those things? Forget about all the picks and everything. How are you going to get beyond that?
Okay, the Isaiah stuff is a little bit bonkers because even if you ask Isaiah right now, Isaiah tried to get back to Boston this past year. Like, Isaiah does not – I don't think he feels that way.
It's the money.
It's the money.
He didn't get the money. It's not personal. It's Isaiah had an opportunity. He didn't get the money, and everyone else
saw that. Okay, but so do you want to play for a team that will just, like, hand out Kobe Bryant type of contracts? Golden parachutes?
You know what? So that's the thing is, that is the perfect example. What the Lakers did with Kobe was, objectively speaking, in real time, a bad decision for that year and the next year and the year after Laker team. And it was a very good decision for further burnishing the Lakers' reputation as a team that takes care of its players.
You think?
What the Celtics did with Isaiah Thomas was absolutely unequivocally a good basketball decision for that year, the next year, and maybe years moving forward if they keep Kyrie. It was a bad decision as far as the way the organization would be looked at by certain players and people close to certain players. Those things both can be true, but you painted the picture as to why would Anthony Davis not want to be in Boston. I don't know, but he doesn't. Like, the thing is, it don't matter. Like, even if logically,
we don't even know if Kyrie wants to be in Boston. He's been there.
Okay,
but you guys haven't won him.
This is this week.
Is that true or not?
What?
The Boston has not won Kyrie over.
We don't know until July 1st. I don't know. But you said Anthony Davis doesn't want to be in Boston. He doesn't want to. First, it was the Lakers. He only wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. But then it's Milwaukee. He wants to be there. And the Clippers and the Knicks. What's next in the list? Who else does he want to go to Miami?
I don't know, but like, there's 30 teams, and right now it sure seems like the 30th is Boston.
Let's wait
and
see.
That's what I know.
Wait and see.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.